how well do you listen? Sunday morning sermon, February the 17th, 2008, Town Creek, Alabama. During his earthly ministry, Jesus often concluded a lesson by crying out, "He who has ears, let him hear." We see it being said concerning John the Baptist in Matthew 11, verse 15. The parable of the sower, Matthew 13, verse 9. And also in the explanation of the parable of the tares in Matthew 13, and verse 43. In his letters to the churches of Asia, Jesus concludes each with a similar saying, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Revelation 2, 7. 2:11, 2:17, 2:29, chapter 3, verse 6, and so on. What is the actual point of these sayings? Well, it is akin to saying that what's being said is very important, so you'd better pay attention and listen, much like what we see in Mark chapter 4, verses 23 through 25. It illustrates that Jesus had to deal with a problem that often exists in our present age. Many people simply don't listen, or they don't listen so as to understand what's being said. I'm pretty well convinced that many today don't appreciate the importance of listening well. It concerned Jesus, and so I believe it's appropriate to ask the question today, how well do you listen? It might be profitable to begin this lesson by pointing out that there are three types of listeners. The first type of listener that we're going to talk about is those who are dull of hearing. You know, some of the Hebrew Christians were like this. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11, we read the Hebrew writer saying, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing." Note that when a person has this problem, it's hard for other people to explain things to them. That's basically what the Hebrew writer is saying. We have a lot of things to say, things that are hard to say, since you're dull of hearing. And the fault is not with the subject material, nor with the presenter of the subject material, but with the listener. Isaiah wrote of such people, and Jesus applied it to many in his day. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 14, Jesus said, "And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing ye shall hear and not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive." And that's a reference to Isaiah 6 and verse 9. People are this way because they are dull of heart. Being dull of heart prevents them from understanding God's truth and turning from sin to God and from being healed or saved by God. Now, who would want to be this kind of a listener, the dull of hearing? I certainly wouldn't. I don't think you would either. Now, the second of these three types of hearers are those with itching ears, as Paul describes them in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. Note that Paul says the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. In other words, the time is going to come when people are not going to listen to sound doctrine. Wholesome, good doctrine that comes from God's Word. But they're going to find somebody who will tickle that itch, if you will, in their ears. They'll scratch it for them. They're going to find people that will teach what they want to hear. And people like that only listen to what's pleasing to them. So they don't like sound doctrine, which often requires the kind of preaching that Paul mentions in verse 2 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. That the preacher needs to be instant, automatic, in season. When it's time, out of season, when maybe it's not exactly time. But be ready all the time. to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, sound doctrine, to expose sin, to rebuke sin, that is to convict the sinner in his heart that there is sin, and encourage them. That means you teach them what sin is, if they'll listen. You teach them that sin is not something they need to be involved in. That is, convince them that there's sin in their life, and then encourage them by telling them how that sin can be eradicated from their lives. That's the kind of preaching that needs to be in this day and age, if people will listen to it with all sound doctrine. But people like Paul's talking about, those with itching ears, are going to find the teachers they want. And then they're going to turn from the truth to lies, because they'd rather believe lies. You know, many today are afflicted with this hearing problem, itching ears. Now, number three, there are those who hear with a noble and good heart. Jesus speaks of these type of listeners in Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. When he's explaining the parable of the seed and the sower, where he says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, a noble and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. You know, the Bereans were this type of listener. If you go to Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, you'll see that they were fair-minded people. And they were willing to give Paul a fair hearing. And they searched the scriptures daily to make sure the things that were being taught were so. That required that they listen to it and then go back to the Old Testament scriptures in order to understand that Jesus was the Messiah promised in those scriptures, that what Paul was telling them was so. They were fair-minded. They listened to Paul. It showed in how they received the word or listened to the word with all readiness. And this is the kind of listener we should all be. We shouldn't be dull of hearing. We shouldn't be those with itching ears. We should be those who hear with a noble, an honest, and a good heart. Now, why is it so important to be this kind of listener? That person who receives the word like the Bereans did, having a noble and good heart. Well, there are several reasons. The importance of good listening first starts with the fact that it's essential to being blessed by God. For those willing to listen properly, there are wonderful, wonderful things to be learned. Matthew chapter 13, verses 16 and 17, Jesus said, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Many things, many wonderful things can be learned if you are a good listener with regard to God's Word. I mean, it applies to anything, but especially to God's Word. Many things which great people, David, Daniel, the list could go on and on, didn't have the opportunity to learn. Things pertaining to the wonderful blessings that are now available in Christ. We're talking about salvation, for one. You know, we miss out on these blessings if we do not listen carefully. So good listening is essential to being blessed. Good listening is also essential to saving faith. God has ordained that we be saved through obedient faith in Christ. Romans 1, verses 16 and 17, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So Such faith comes through the proclamation of the gospel, often involving listening to a preacher. And while one can certainly gain faith through reading God's Word, giving audience to God's Word is really what faith comes by, hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's what it applies to, giving audience to it, either hearing someone preach it or reading it. In the same, those men who wrote those things, inspired of the Holy Ghost, sent from God the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ, they are preaching to you when you're reading the Word, in a way. And a person can gain faith through reading God's Word. The fact remains that many are often dependent upon what they first hear proclaimed. That's what gets their attention enough, maybe, to start reading the Bible or reading the Word of God. One reason faith is often lacking is because people are simply not good listeners. They miss out on the evidence in God's Word which produces faith. Question. Does your listening or your manner of listening hinder the development of your faith? It can if you're not a good listener. Good listening is essential to saving faith. Good listening is also essential to bearing fruit. In the parable of the sower, the only kind of soil or heart capable of bearing fruit was the one which listened properly. Luke 8 and verse 15, Jesus said, But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, give an audience to it, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. So Jesus has told us the seed that falls on the fertile ground, on the good ground, are those who receive the word in a good and honest heart. And after having heard the word, that is, having paid attention to what's being said, being a good listener, they bear fruit with patience. And that's because bearing fruit comes from understanding the grace of God. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 6, Paul writes, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. What's Paul talking about? Paul's talking about people who have listened to what God's Word is saying to them. And they know what God expects of them, not just with regard to being saved, but with remaining in God's grace, remaining saved, and bearing fruit for the Father. Edification, building themselves up. You see, if you note what it says there, Paul is telling us that the gospel was bearing fruit in the Colossians. But that was since the day they heard and knew the grace of God. It's essential to understanding. Only by listening can we understand God's grace and be thus motivated to bear fruit to His glory. Good listening is also essential to preventing apostasy. Now, what is apostasy? Good listening is essential to preventing apostasy. Apostasy is falling away, is what the word means. To fall away from something. And there is a real danger of drifting, falling away, by neglecting so great a salvation as the Hebrew writer writes of in Hebrews 2, verses 1 through 3. And as he says there, the only solution, the only way we can keep from drifting or falling away is to give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. Good listening is essential to preventing apostasy. Poor listening is often the first step towards apostasy. Good listening is also essential to avoiding rejection and condemnation. If we do not listen as we should, God's word teaches us that we will be rejected. God's word shows us that those who teach God's word have the right to reject us if we do not listen as we should. Matthew chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, Jesus teaches there, "And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words," notice that, whoever does not receive you, whoever does not hear your words, "when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." What is Jesus saying? That if we don't listen as we should, then those who teach God's word have a right to reject us. And when we don't listen as we should, we're judging ourselves unworthy of eternal life. It happened to the Jews with regard to Paul and Barnabas. Read Acts chapter 13 in verses 44 through 49. Paul tells the Jews that they have judged themselves unworthy of eternal life. Oh, we don't want any part of that. If we want to avoid rejection and condemnation, we need to listen as we should. If we reject the gospel, perhaps by poor listening, the men of Nineveh and the Queen of the South will condemn us at the judgment. That is to really say, what they did will be a condemnation of what we did not do. The men of Nineveh repented after hearing just one lesson from Jonah. Will we reject the gospel of Christ after being given so many opportunities? Like some to say, "But, preacher, I thought you just had to say a sinner's prayer. I didn't think you had to be baptized. That's not what the pastor down at the denominational church taught me. He said all I had to do was say a sinner's prayer. Show me that prayer, first of all, in God's word. Show me where it says that's what you did. I can show you where it says that you must hear." Starts with hearing, doesn't it? That's what we're talking about. Then you have to believe, then you have to repent, confess, and be baptized. I can show you all those things in the Scripture, and that they are commanded. They must be done. But you can't show me the sinner's prayer in the Scriptures. "Now we know God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth." Look up John chapter 9. In verse 31, the Queen of the South went to great lengths to hear the wisdom of God as it was coming from Solomon. And some people are not willing to go just a short distance to hear God's word proclaimed, or to seek out a congregation that teaches sound doctrine. They'd rather find some place that will scratch their itching ears. The rejection and condemnation is not limited to coming from just these individuals, the Queen of the South, the men of Nineveh. It'll come from God as well. Good listening is essential to a lot of things, isn't it? Hopefully, we can appreciate the wonderful opportunities that we have to be able to listen to God's Word and the importance of good listening. So, how can we improve our ability to listen? Just think about this. Speakers need to learn how to speak so they will be understood, don't they? It's part of the reason I went to school, to try to learn to be a better communicator. But people need to learn to listen so they can understand. And here are some steps to help us be better listeners. First, make listening an act of worship. How you listen to God's word being read or preached is as much an indication of your devotion to God as how you pray or sing, because listening to God's word is commanded. Don't just make listening an act of worship. Know that listening is commanded of us in the worship of God. He that hath ears, let him hear, Jesus says. So when you have opportunities to listen, do it in a worshipful attitude. Think of how you would listen if some great person were speaking. Imagine giving your undivided attention as if you were listening to some famous person speak. Does not the proclamation of God's word deserve just as much attention? I think it does. Next, listen from first to last. That is, pay attention all the way through. How can you expect to understand a novel by simply reading a sentence here or there in the book? You can't. And so it is with listening. Sentences, phrases, words, to be understood, they must be heard in light of the context in which they're presented. As I said, speakers follow certain rules of speech so as to be understood. They introduce the subject. You see this in my lessons. Lessons that I present to you, I introduce the subject, I present the main points with some supporting argumentation, supporting those points, and I conclude with a summary of those points. So listeners must listen to all the parts to truly understand. So listen from first to last. Next. Foghorn Leghorn will help you remember this. He says, I say, look at me when I'm talking to you, boy. You remember the cartoon character, the great big rooster? Look at the speaker. This will greatly aid your concentration. You know, looking elsewhere makes it easy for your mind to wander off. Closing your eyes makes it easy for you to nod off. This requires some self-discipline, but it is conducive to developing a longer attention span. Try it and see if it doesn't make a difference. I know I'm not the prettiest thing to look at, but it will help you if you'll look at the speaker. Next, read along in your Bible. Read along with what's being read in your Bible. Notice sometimes I forget, but I try to repeat the scripture at least twice in order to give you time to find it. I may go too quick sometimes, I'm sure I do. But you remember more of what you both see and hear over what you simply hear. Which is why visual aids are often used in sermons, much like the little sheets that I pass out with a summary type of outline for the sermon or the lesson that day with blanks to fill in. That's a visual aid to help your concentration. But the greatest visual aid that can ever be is your Bible. Bring your Bible with you. If you don't have one, you tell me. We've got some in the pews. You tell me if you need a Bible and I'll bring you one. I'll go buy it myself. I'll even have your name put on it. If you need a Bible, you let me know. Use your Bible and read along with what the speaker is talking about. Your knowledge of the scriptures will be greatly improved if you do this. It's hard at first, I know, to keep up, but persevere and it very soon will become easier because you'll start realizing where the books are. And one thing that helps with that is to start memorizing the books. Make yourself a list if you have to. Start writing them down. We need to know God's Word, and we need to know where the books are located, first and foremost. We encourage our children to do this. Say the books of the Bible. Shouldn't adults provide an example and do the same? I think the answer to that is yes. Next, listen with faith. That is, listen with a willingness to accept and believe what is shown in God's Word. If you notice Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. It's talking about the children of Israel and how they perished in the wilderness. And if you'll note, those who perished in the wilderness were those who did not listen with faith. It's important too, isn't it? If we don't listen with faith, the same sort of thing can happen to us. We can fall short of our heavenly rest. Last but not least, we need to listen with a mind to take action. Listen with a mind to act. I hope we're not like the people of Ezekiel's day, as we would read of in Ezekiel 33, verses 30 through 32. You can compare what I'm talking about to that passage. They loved to hear Ezekiel, or the word of God from Ezekiel, but for the wrong reasons. Do we love to hear sermons because of how well the speaker presents them? Or do we love to hear sermons because God's word is being preached? You know, hearing must be accompanied by doing to be of any profit. And I don't think of myself as being a great orator or speaker. But I would hope that people are listening to what's being said rather than the person that's saying the thing. And paying close attention, like those Bereans, and looking at the scriptures in order to see if those things are so. If you read along in your Bible, as I just mentioned, you'll be able to see that. And then take the things that you hear and act on them. Use them in your daily life to be a better Christian, to be a better mother, father, brother, sister, whatever the case may be. But more than anything else, to be a better servant of God. As important as good listening may be, the blessedness comes only if we are doers as well as hearers, like James talks about in James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. In conclusion, we should be blessed by what we hear being taught from God's Word. That's my goal in presenting these thoughts on listening today, because it all begins with listening in the proper way. How important then is listening? When it comes to listening to God, it's very, very important. And it's essential for the good of our soul. Is there ever a time you think that God does not listen? Some might say, no, God always listens. Well, God does not hear sinners. As I mentioned a moment ago, that's proven by the Old Testament. If you don't believe me, look up Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, and it says there that God's ear is not heavy that he cannot hear, or his arm shortened that he cannot say. But your iniquities, your lawlessness, your sin has separated between you and your God. God turns his back on sin. But we can take care of that problem by receiving God's mercy. Today, that mercy is offered through Jesus Christ, God's Son. And as God himself said in Luke 9, verse 35, "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him." Have you heeded him by obeying his word? Or does the following cry of Jesus apply to you? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Luke 6 and verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Starts with listening, doesn't it? You got to hear God's word. Believe God's word. Jesus said that since you believe I am he, you shall die in your sins. Paul lets us know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So you've got to have an obedient faith to start the process. Jesus also said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. He tells us in Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33, that if we'll confess him before men, he'll confess us before his Father. But if we deny him, he'll deny us. And then he says in Mark 16:16, if you believe and you're baptized, you'll be saved. But if you don't believe, you'll be condemned. Very plain, the words of the Lord. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Have you obeyed the gospel today? If you have not, why haven't you? Christians, you know that it doesn't end at baptism. You must remain faithful. It's an obedient faith. Obeying God's word, hearing God's word, listening to God's word, and living by it day by day. Have you fallen away from God's grace? Remember, poor listening is the first step towards apostasy. Have you fallen away? Do you need to be restored to the Lord's church today? If there's anyone within the sound of my voice that has these needs in their life, I asked you this question like I always asked. What are you waiting for?